Recording in progress.
Yeah, I'll get.
All right, we will begin our working session at 8:07 p.m. to discuss streets funding work session. Hartwell, Ben, take it away.
Well, good evening. This is just our weekly work session to talk about streets funding, which is also morphed into the potential for addressing parks and recreation funding with their sunset that is looming in 2032. I think maybe just a good place to start is to see if there's been any thoughts that have come up since our last work session, activities that have taken place since our last meeting. PRAC did have another meeting amongst themselves. There were only four PRAC members of the seven.
Yeah.
That were in attendance at that meeting, and they did send you some correspondence, which I think, even though there's a tone of finality to that, I think when you really take into context their meeting, that it's really, that's their starting position, and that they're open to discussion about that idea, which may or may not be the solution or part of the solution for how we move forward. And
What I noticed about that letter is that, okay, we'd like to keep the money, okay, reasonable statement, and then what does not is, okay, we want to do some version of phase three, but have they really cost that out and what they're doing? And they've estimated how much it costs to run stuff at 0.75 cents. How did they arrive at that number? I'd like to see some. I don't know what they're using as a basis for that information.
And I think that's an area that we can definitely spend some time. Dan, will you share with the steps that you've kind of taken since that meeting as far as Barker?
Yeah, so we're going to hear back from Barker Ranger by the end of the week. They had an email into me today. They're looking into some of the old plans, and we need to kind of knock the dust off of that and kind of look and see what, you know, phase three could look like, what are some of the associated costs. I think it could be quite different compared to some of the plans from the last, you know, 15 years ago. So. Yeah. So we're looking to get just some more details on that.
Especially some cost estimates.
Yeah.
Just so that we have a realm of reasonableness if we were to move forward with that same plan, which, you know, may have changed, the needs may have changed since then, but at least to kind of refresh that and make sure that we're operating with current numbers. And I think, Jim, your point is well taken on the 0.75. And Dan and I will take some time just to, what can we do? What can't we do with various percentages? And what are the limitations and opportunities with different scenarios? As a preview for your next week, which would be a week from this evening, we'd like to kind of go through the two emerging alternatives. And there's kind of another take on one that's been evolving based on the feedback from PRAC that would maybe be called a option 2B, that's like more of a semantic way of looking at option 2, which is the combination of rec and roads that we'll maybe talk about a little bit next week. But also we're developing some tools.
That's got a nice ring, rec and roads.
Yeah, rec and roads, that's what we're calling it.
At this point, we don't spell
or wrecked roads.
The
other concern I have is when, what was it, 2017 or 2018, that we went through and reworked the roof at the rec center with the rubberization on top. Mm-hmm. In the back of my head is that while that certainly stabilized the situation, it has a limited lifespan to it. And I guess in the back of my head, have we we certainly have a contingency fund that could rebuild a roof. Maybe not redesign it, but there are some things where, with the ice falls and some other things and some other issues with ventilation, et cetera, that have been discussed at various times, that probably there is a major refurbishment of what we have on existence there.
Right.
And I don't, that's something that people have probably not, other than you, probably have spent much time thinking about at all. And that's something that we need to take into account as well, because that deals with that reserve that we have right now, which is continuing to build and should continue to build in terms of what was intended. And I'm not sure that phase three, as it originally was done, could be done without bonds or financing it out over 20 years. And that creates a whole different problem when you get to 32. And the other thing that needs to be done is what happens if you reach 32, which is sort of what they're suggesting. You put a ballot question on there for that year and it fails. Then what do you do with the 25 cents on the buck?
Well, I think their suggestion is address it now, but the entire funding would run its course until 2032. It would not be available for streets.
You're not going to get people suggestion. To vote for something in 32 and 24. You just aren't.
So I think there's some areas that we need. There's some areas in this that I think we need to get a real handle on. Like the 0.75 is a big one, because if it stays at 0.75, that's pretty much a deal breaker for roads, because the 0.25 is just not sufficient to address those needs. The other one is like you said, the waiting in 2032 is a challenge, because then that just exacerbates the problem with roads. And then the other thing that we've actually heard from PRAC, and also when we met with William Spicer, was a suggestion to take this into a more of a two-year planning horizon. And I think maybe we can just leave that for the discussion tonight for scheduling, and just table that for now. But I think those are the issues that came out of this. But what we propose is Dan and I to sit down and really try to put pencil to, we obviously have to pay the debt service until 2032, and we need to cover those shortfalls at the ice rink and the community center. But then what is out there beyond that would accommodate some reasonable repair and maintenance on existing facilities, and then potentially this construction of phase three, and then some of the trails that connectivity that's been identified, which includes the connection from the airport road to Hartman Rocks and then Western to Van Tile. So I think if we kind of work through that and then meet again with PRAC, we can maybe resolve some of these issues, or at least talk about them and brainstorm them further, and then see if that kind of changes their position, if that's okay with the council.
Well, I think much to that, right, and I know we're not necessarily discussing the green space and the RTA concept, but as I read the letter, I did think a lot of these, actually, I would have loved to have said it in the conversation, and maybe I could have, should have, didn't. I think it'd be important to just keep fleshing these things out and just get a better understanding of where they're coming from, why, where we're coming from, why.
Right.
We're early on, right? This isn't early enough.
Yeah. And then back to just a little teaser for next week is, so in addition to just here are the alternatives, some pros and cons, our task force analyzed and distilled the input from a variety of survey sources, whether it's Magellan or actual for and against arguments filed for the ballot initiative, and some other surveys that we put out. We've distilled those arguments for and against, and so I think that would be a good place to start, is just to understand what people were thinking. And I think we kind of have a concept of that, but it's kind of nice to see that in one place. And then highlight the budget cut concept. of what is actually available to you as far as discretion to make cuts and where can you cut that actually would benefit roads, which is a lot less than someone might think with a $38.5 million budget. So we've got some...
Especially when you get into the nuances of, these economic development grants really increase what we get for sales tax or,
Exactly. So we'll kind of go walk through that a little bit, and then we're also developing a scenario builder type modeling tool where you can play some what-if scenarios on the fly by clicking some check boxes to show what sort of revenue sources do you have coming in, what does this look like if you change it up, what can that afford, and it kind of on the fly calculates how much excess or under you have with each of those. So that's kind of a tool that we're developing. That's all in progress. But for tonight, I think we had two questions for the council. And one is we've put out a little bit of a schedule on in your packets. And let me share my screen here so you can see this. So this is a Gantt chart, and we've thrown out a starting place to discuss what a timeline might work out as if you're working for a ballot initiative this fall. I mean, obviously that changes, and there has been some input to lengthen that. And I don't think in any circumstance we would want to rush a decision that ends up in kind of a rash or unstudied approach. But what we're trying to do is craft a timeline that allows us to analyze the different opportunities or strategies to address the issues, and then garner effective input, from stakeholder groups and potentially with a strategy charrette that could be facilitated by someone like Community Builders or something like that. And then... moving into a summer education and outreach campaign that could be passed off to a PAC in that sort of September time frame. So this is something that we've thrown out there. So I think the key piece is what kind of tweaks do you want to make to the schedule? Are there things in this schedule that doesn't, resonate with you, that feels a little bit off, that doesn't work quite right? And then the second question would be is with the education and outreach, there's a couple of tracks we could go there. One would be that it's more of a community input opportunity, and you throw out, hey, there's this strategy and this strategy and this strategy. What do you think from public's perspective is the best way to go? Which is a lot of information, but it also is very open and engaging with the community. Or do you have a strategy where you have a preferred alternative that potentially on this schedule would be identified at your August or April 25th meeting, and we really have one idea that we think has the most it's the most viable for getting votes and passing, and that whole education outreach is very targeted about a singular preferred alternative so that you kind of reduce all the noise and focus it into one singular message that you can communicate in a variety of ways to a variety of different audiences. So those are the questions tonight. Schedule, what does education outreach look like? And that's kind of what we're hoping to talk about this evening. So right now, we're working through these work sessions. We've talked about a variety of things. We've brought up a couple of ideas that have sort of come to the surface. That's a rec tax, and then the rec and roads concept. And both of those may be coupled with some reasonable cuts. But the ultimate goal is to avoid the reality of having a percentage, potentially about half of our roads, returning to rubble over the next 20 years. So that's the current state that we're trying to avoid, and we've discussed that a little bit. And we've got IMS is working on updating some numbers, so you can feel really confident about an estimate for what it takes to maintain roads, and trying to really get a handle on how do you talk to someone about something that's not a current issue but is going to become an issue. And not only is it an issue, but it's sort of compounds in terms of cost, and how do you actually demonstrate that to ourselves and to the public. So we're working on that. That's in process. We've got our task force that meets every week. We went through the arguments for and against again. And so after that, what we're thinking about is having an identification of some stakeholders. PRAC is obviously one of them that we would like to continue meeting with, but potentially the access control safety contingent for people that are interested in highway safety. And then businesses, you know, there's a variety of stakeholders that I think it would be nice to start having some conversations with. And one thing that we've thrown out there is that whether the council would like to have a strategy charrette, where we have some kind of a big event that we have all these stakeholders come, we kind of propose some of these solutions, and then have people actively working through those, and we can use this model that we'll present to you next week as a tool during those meetings, among other things. But just to kind of get input, what feels good, you know, what's the right thing to do, so to speak. There's always a limited amount of money, but what's a good strategy that might be a winning strategy that also addresses all or most of the funding needs. So what do you all think about sort of having an event that's maybe providing some heavy hors d'oeuvres or some kind of enticement to bring people together and really have a dedicated discussion around these issues?
Part of that's got to be an understanding or perception of the problem.
Yeah,
a solution without a problem goes nowhere in the long run.
Right, I do think that there would need to be an education piece to get people to then think through, how do I fix it?
Yeah. And I like the idea of a charrette. I think that there's some benefits to doing, having, you know, a guided work groups and having people think about the issue.
How do you make people do that? I don't know. Anytime I'm able to actually like talk to somebody and explain, they get it. But it's so hard to. How do you reach 7,000 people?
Maybe the charrette part is going to be easier.
1,500 people to vote, right. Whatever it was.
One of the things that we've talked about in our task force along those lines is that we need to identify voices that we've heard, and not just four voices, but very opposed voices, and reach out to them individually. And I think that's why there's this focus group identification in there early March, is who are those people that need to be in the room, and we need to make specific outreach to those individuals and groups to make sure that they're part of the conversation.
Kelly, you were going to ask.
Ben has some tools he's been putting together that I think can make it a lot easier to understand a conception on how a charrette can work. Mm-hmm. Because, like breaking down the budget, like people think they have plenty of money, you don't need any more money for streets. Well, some of this will show that that's not really true, and this is why. And I think there's got to be quite a bit more development of the ramifications of decisions, even if you do have a preferred alternative at some point. But I don't know how early all of that can happen, and I can't read that from here, so.
We've got 98 inches of beautiful screen here.
Ben, you were right.
I guess in one information point that we need, I mean, the IMS study, is that the group that went through and did the
sonogram? They did what we asked them to do is update it based on current prices, like used in Palisades.
Yeah.
and that'll give you a more realistic cost.
Yes. And updated mobilization numbers, too, that we've seen.
Mobilization is huge because all these contractors, like United, is out of town. They're not local.
No, they're Atlanta.
They come from Grand Junction.
Yeah, and then they take their orders from Atlanta. Found that out once.
So the mobilization is huge because then you have to house them and all that kind of stuff. So it's expensive here, really.
Yeah, and the thing that strikes me is that 5 years was essentially, when the report was issued, zero was that year, and then 20 or 21 is the beginning of the 5 years. Mm-hmm. But as we move out, we still are using 5 years out. And so...
Well, it's getting close because we're one or 2 years away from
having problems.
From getting that breakover on a lot of roads and stuff. So I know we've talked about maybe pushing that out a year, but I just really cringe at that, you know.
I mean, it's already 2 years of labor.
Each year at more cost, because that will be an element in their analysis. Is, there has been some work done. They've done some slurry. They've done palisades. So it's not like that we've done nothing in the last 2 years, but it's less than what needed to be done. So that is also going to be taken into account with the study.
March the 28th, we'll have those numbers for you. I think we've got IMS that's going to come to council and do a presentation for council. So.
That's one thing that we need to clarify, because that 5 years has just moved on us, I think, from 1 year to the next. And when I was originally thinking that's like 2025, you hit over 20% of your roads are not. Yeah. That means that you're not. There's no way we can raise the amount of money to catch up at that point.
Well, it certainly puts you behind that eight ball, but once you reach that breaking point, then the IMS number, then you're going to have to inject more money just to get to where you are today.
Where you should have been. Yeah.
I guess so, Ben, you've got two questions on the schedule that we're looking at, and then on the education charrette component. We'll take a tally here on the room.
Oh. Let's start with someone else. Let me listen to everyone else says.
Yeah. So, and I think we can keep having a conversation about what that looks like. I mean, obviously the focus group we were kind of talking about is think about those people that may have some interest in there for a variety of reasons, and it doesn't matter about even vehicle traffic. I mean, bike riders are also using the roads, and, you know, would it make sense to have bike shop owners as part of this discussion? They have a lot of conversations with people that are traveling that same surface. And even pedestrians can have a play in this, because you have safety in crossing those same areas, or if sidewalks become part of the conversation with connectivity of the non-motorized transportation plan. And so those people that just would have an interest in transportation, multimodal or otherwise, but then also people that are anti-tax, or maybe they feel like the city has been, there's comments that are in there that are very specific about the city being wasteful in spending. And some of those specific, beefs, so to speak, are not actually related to the city. They're a misnomer, because it's either the county or some other organization that's spending money, but they thought it was the city just because that happened in the city.
The mural.
Like, whether it's the jail or the mural or, the library, those aren't us. But there are some that do have to do with us, and sometimes they were funded by grants. Some of those were funded by a restricted funding source.
Well, I think it's important to definitely have those individuals or voices at the table, because it will help guide us as well. Right?
Because they are loud voices, too. Whether they're wrong, right or wrong, they're still loud, especially,
And we may learn something from them.
Maybe they just need to be educated, too.
Well, that's my thought, right? Maybe these misconceptions, I'm not trying to change anybody's beliefs, but if somebody can see the numbers and see the actual figures behind it, it could help shift perspective, and that could then help
And it could shift ours too. I mean, it's not like those voices don't
absolutely.
And they have their own following. And so I think that selection of who would be participating in that is pretty key. That in this schedule is aggressive, but I think we could push any of this back by about a month. But I think different than the last couple of years, what our task force committee would recommend is that hopefully by early May, at the latest by early June, we're moving forward with education outreach. We're not playing around with different scenarios, unless there's somebody has this epiphany that's like, wow, we didn't think about that. We're focused in a certain area, maybe a few areas, but the recommendation from our task force is that it's on one area, one preferred alternative. And so that's one of the questions from council is, which way do you want to go with that? And really be hitting the ground running. And that's where you get into this education and outreach that has a social media posts. We've got to develop a website here with basic information, FAQs. We need to start out with defining the audiences. And there's different people that will respond to very analytical stuff. I want to see the details. I want specific plans. I want to know, how did you arrive at this? Did you just make it up that the roads cost 8 times more after you let them go to reconstruct phase, Other people want to see what are some other communities that have gone down that road and didn't maintain their roads. Is it Petaluma, California, where their PCI rating is at 47? They don't care what the PCI is, whether it's 30 or 90. It's just, I don't care. I want to see what does that look like to me. And so case studies, things that actually matter to those people. And then depending on how you use the roads, you're going to have a different attitude and way you want to receive that information. So we want to be able to develop that over the course of the summer. And City Fest, we have proposed for July 20th. So get that on your calendars, because we'll invite the community for some input. And I think this is a great opportunity to educate people about the issue and potentially the preferred alternative at that. Radio, newspapers, so there's a lot of different modes of information that we want to get out. And we also, Erica and Cassie are pros at putting together their information cart with their table and, setting up in front of the post office and having one-on-one conversations with people about, hey, have you heard about this? What kind of input do you have about that? So we want to hit the ground running in the summertime and work towards this PAC member identification, which could come out of these focus groups, those individuals that rise up with some kind of an interest. Can we recruit them to sort of pass the baton off to after we need to stop advocating? And really, we're trying to come at this as an education in general right now. But after, we fix the title, or for the purposes of having the title fixed, have a meeting, we want to make sure that we're, to the letter of the law there, and we can still talk about it, and we just have to make sure we're really honest about cons and that we're not urging you to vote, we're not asking you to vote.
You don't develop the ballot language until you're absolutely sure you're moving forward in that year and as late as possible, and to build in the education component as long as possible, or advocacy, for that matter.
Yeah. And then hopefully they're independent and pass that baton somewhere around July 26th and onward to Election Day on November 7th. So that's the schedule. It's probably a little aggressive, but it's night and day compared to our schedule we've had for the last couple of years. So we just want to see, what do you all think about this? Is this something that's doable? Is it something... you have some people that are asking you to hold off and go for a 2-year plan. What do you think about that?
What did we do the last 2 years?
It was last year. I feel better about a 2-year plan.
Yeah. Well, it's...
I think the timeline makes sense if there's capacity with staff to be working on it.
I think what we've, I mean, obviously we're at capacity. We don't have a manager, but we feel like if this is one of the most important, if not the most important issue the city is dealing with, then I think all of us are signed up for that's what we need to do, and that's what we're ready to move forward. Would you all agree with that?
Yeah.
And we make this a priority, and we drive this ahead.
There comes a point where, just dealing with the roads, that you reach a point where you also got to be honest. Now, it doesn't matter how you vote. We're at a point where we're in, the boat is sinking, and now you got to go to the lifeboats, and it's a different world. And I'm glad we're getting some additional information on that in terms of our costs. That, because being in other communities, you don't want to be like some other communities and in the area where, yeah, the roads are falling apart. Yeah, I just spent $5,000 preparing my car, or $700. Gee, voting for a dime now on a dollar makes sense, you know, and so it passes easily. At that point, then they pass it, and then you wonder why all you get is complaints about the potholes aren't fixed. I mean, I know that happened in Colorado Springs, and all the people, every time I go there, the roads are all torn up. That's what you end up, even if you have additional money in there, you just can't catch up at a point. And that's, can we extend it? Can we make that last a little longer? I don't know.
But I think that's part of the exercise, right? I think this update from IMS would be really helpful to understand. And that's, we're not making a decision.
No. No, and I'm not saying that either.
Yeah, no. I'm just...
All I'm saying is there's a point where you start saving money to buy an asphalt crusher. Yeah. And you just go along and rip it up and say, well, we come along with a roller and it's packed. That's your new street. It takes care of the potholes.
And that's part of the analysis that needs to be done, too, because we do have a motor grader now. But you do introduce a lot of dust, so we need a way to handle dust mitigation.
It's still got an expense with that.
So it's not free to go that route. It is less expensive.
Yeah.
And we just need to see what our existing equipment, which some of it can be used to accomplish that, and some of it will need some new equipment to actually go to it. Cheaper surface that's less durable. So I think the main thing is there anything in the schedule that seems out of place, or the speed is something? I mean, we're asking a lot from councils. So next work session, we kind of outlined that. Your March 7th would be talking about the alternatives, pros and cons, arguments for and against our other ballot initiatives, budget cuts, and this modeling tool. And then your March 28th would be this IMS presentation. And then April would be spent, really hashing those alternatives out. Is there one that really stands above the rest or not? And maybe at that point you come to the conclusion of, what does this summer look like? Is it for one of those alternatives that you really see is the best route? Or not, but I think we need to be planning for the charrette. If that's something that you'd like to do, we've kind of thrown out that date of April 11th, and if we want to pull that off, we need to be planning for that now.
Isn't that a council meeting?
I just think that's a council meeting.
Yeah, you'd have to be a week after that.
Yeah, so scheduling is definitely...
Because the 11th is the second Tuesday.
And I mean that could be some kind of work session during the day for you all. I mean, it doesn't
yeah.
I think we'd put the 11th on there because you do have council that day and if we're available, but and maybe that's better in the evening, I'm not sure.
Well, we might need to do preliminary stuff on the 11th and on the 13th, which would be
Thursday.
Do, you know, the evening.
The 13th is our city manager open house.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's
it's a busy week for you all.
Yeah, well, we'll just run a charrette in the middle of city manager.
So we,
Ain't gonna work.
Just won't sleep all April.
It's not,
Skip sleep.
What about like an April 20th?
420.
No, I want people to be present at the council.
Or not. They may be happy.
No, they won't remember.
We could have it sponsored by Soma.
Slow down.
Slow down. I mean, do you want to have that kind of a community gathering that we really do some legwork on inviting specific individuals, reaching out to them? Obviously, everyone would be welcome, but people that we know either have an interest in that or you would think would have an interest in that and vocal voices either for or against this topic, we would specifically reach out to them and ask them to come.
It's going to turn into like Thunderdome.
Yeah. We'll have a death match.
Master Blaster.
I think this is great. My opinion is this is definitely aggressive. But looking back 2 years at how we approached it previously, this makes a great deal of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
From
you get to work.
Here's how we get to work. Here's when we need to get to work. And then
here's
back
who
to
is
Mallory's
buying
point
in and when.
Of how council can rally around this and put in our own time and efforts to support this whole thing. My two cents with this is wonderful.
Okay.
And then on the second question of the charrette, yes. And then as long as there's like a piece of a component, an education component of sorts, so that people understand, like, hey, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
It's not, yeah. So that would be my two cents.
What about the concept of do we want to facilitate that ourselves or can we reach out to someone like Community Builders or even somebody that's local like Widener or someone like Paula Swenson or somebody that's local that does stuff like that? I don't know that they did focus groups. They had more marketing. This would be less marketing and more facilitation.
Well, and that's
Community Builders is great. I just don't know how much they cost.
I could reach out to them and.
Well, on doing that, you know, everybody's saying we're spending the money wrong, so let's go good if we can. That's not make people think that give them the impression we have enough money to throw out to people to do this, but we don't have money to take care of our streets.
Yeah, and
wrong perception.
I mean, I think with those kind of events, you do need to kind of throw in a little bit of something that's, we're going to give you some desserts or appetizers or something for in exchange for your time, you know?
Yeah.
It's not going to be a cheap event.
The school had an event to kind of kick off their thing, their initiative, but it was already decided they were going for it. It was more of like a kickoff to the ballot support. But then they also had a great deal of marketing. I'm assuming, I mean, they must have had a war chest of sorts to really get that word out.
And they also had a built-in audience because didn't they? Those first two meetings were with parent groups that normally met for the schools anyway.
I don't remember. I mean, there were definitely parents at this one meeting, but I don't know.
And then there was a general one that followed, if I remember.
Okay. My thought is simply around, I think a charrette would be good, and hopefully we get the good turnout, but then the other side of me thinks, is spending our time and energy there most effective, or is it marketing? But to get to marketing, you have to have a decision made going forward or not. I'm just kind of strategizing here openly in the public, but I do think of education event would be very worthwhile if we can get the right people
And if you, and one of the indicators would be if you can't generate interest, that that gives you pause to think in different ways.
How critical do you think it is to have an outside facilitator?
Not that critical.
Do you think we could just manage that ourselves and
just
do kind of a introduction?
Yeah.
And
I'll be happy.
I can kind of run through some of these things.
Trust me with this, I would happily facilitate. And I, yeah, of course, I have a biased interest.
And we can have a scribe that does this kind of thing that takes input. I mean, are you, sometimes that can be viewed as, well, here's government people that are trying to spoon feed us, but
and
I think
yeah,
we also know.
Yeah, but for me, it's going to be 10 grand to be here for a day of facilitation.
Right. I don't think community builders would be anywhere below that. It would be my guess.
No.
I have no idea, because they're going to have to work previous to and after.
Yeah. Okay.
I think
we feel like we can pull this off.
And we'll let the people know that we decided not to go with them to save the money, because it's money's important to us. That's why
I'm
going
to
community club.
Yeah. I
mean,
I think we've
someone
got enough,
like that, some facilitator like that.
I think we have enough talent and experience to facilitate a meeting.
Okay. Hmm. What's the date?
What did we say, that 20th-ish week?
That's a Tuesday.
If we're looking at holding it at Western, it'd probably be nice to have an option or two, because they're going to get pretty busy in
the
spring.
Eight,
or we could maybe pull off rec center.
Good.
Yeah, that, is there a cost to using Western?
Yes, there would be a cost to using Western.
I think you should stay within the city buildings.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
There's
there
no school
days,
like Venison schools on Friday the 21st,
we
so we don't need
that.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Tuesday
the
20th. 5:30 or so.
I will not be here on the 20th.
That could be good for you all to be there.
Mallory also said that there's no school on the 21st. So maybe
what days are you out, Bo? Just the 20th?
No, I'm going to be out the 14th to the to the end of the month, pretty much. The last couple weeks of April.
14th,
huh? We have council the 18th.
No, it's not the 11th.
So,
11th. Wow. But then you have the managers coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah, interviews on the 14th.
Yeah,
and
so we're gonna leave.
After,
I was gonna leave before that, but we're gonna leave right after the interviews.
Okay.
What about the 19th?
Bo's gone.
Bo's out.
But
right.
We're not gonna
Sorry.
Get every.
I'm
gonna be out that week too.
That's big. Are we into the 24th?
Or do you want to push it earlier?
Or are we?
I'd rather go.
Earlier is harder.
I think the later a week is not going to. I think, like I said, I think as long as most of the summer is focused on that education outreach phase, I think that that's fine. As long as we're getting there and pushing to be there by around June-ish, you know.
Yeah.
So
you
I think
the week of May 1st.
Well, at that point, you're running into. Where's the high school in terms of its senior week and assemblies
that's
and all that jazz?
Memorial Day.
Yeah, that's
none
late
of us
May.
Are in high school.
Yeah, that's
I think that's Western's finals week. That's the week.
May 1st is?
Yeah.
They graduate May 6th.
Yeah. But it's important to have.
What about the week of the 24th?
Yeah. What about the 25th?
Of April?
We have council meeting.
25th, 26th, 27th, 28th.
Yeah,
20s.
Can we
pop
out early
and do the event in the evening?
I'm out the 26th through the 29th at a conference that you all just left.
Yeah. But
I'll be back.
CCCMA is there.
Yeah, let's just give up on it.
What about Monday, like the 24th?
I could do Tuesday the 25th.
We can council early and keep that agenda short and
keep
then do the
late
event in the evening on the
25th. Let's suggestion. I mean, we are meeting next week. Maybe we need to
firm up our schedules and
decide
next week.
I don't think we're going to get everybody in that time period. I mean, yeah, it would be nice if we do, but I think it'll be freakish if we succeed.
April 25th was sounding good, though.
What about April 25th?
That works for me.
David?
I'm not here.
Close, not.
Are you out that time, too?
No, I'll be there.
25th.
So let's check the 25th. Schedules. And we'll give that 2 weeks. We'll say week of 17th and week of 24th and find your best options.
Yeah.
Well, I think, yeah, the only issue is both out for the most.
Sorry, Bo. Is that
we just formed
group on you there?
25th.
What?
We know you'll be out those 2 weeks, and we really want you there, but that just seems to be the 2 weeks.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I understand how important it is, but we were planning on leaving the 12th, but the 13th, 14th are pretty important dates, so we're going to leave now on the 15th, so.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any other matters to discuss?
I guess any other feedback you have so far, if there's something that you all want staff to take back because you've kind of talked with people, reviewed information, thought about it.
The most consistent suggestion is, well, I think you have it in the little slide of showed last week of where the sales tax is obligated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the funds, I mean, money that we collect for electricity cannot go to, to roads. Recreation money is restricted. We do have the, 0.9 of a cent that is restricted to roads.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is money dedicated to it, it's just inadequate.
Yeah.
And so
we didn't move it to some other place to create this problem.
Right.
Yeah.
I think there, and then the flexible money, that's what really needs to go through the shred. These are the things you can move around in the flexible money.
Yeah.
And it'll get down to, I like this activity in there. And I mean, that's sort of what PRAC immediately did with the thing. We need to do this, and you have your interests, and how we meld those together will be critical.
Okay.
You need enough of a coalition to reach 50 plus one, as they say.
Yeah.
I think how do we strategize out clarity as best we can in the various funds? Because when you get down to it, it's not $38 million that you really have to deal with. You get down there in a hurry, it's there. And, discussions about, well, you just got so much money from the federal government, I'm going into debt for my grandkids that aren't born yet. The U.S. government's given us all this money, and it's like, oh, well, the state just allocated $150 million for X, okay? Well, you divide that among 230 towns mm-hmm. and 60-some-odd counties, how much does each place get?
Yeah.
Not much. It's not, and then all of a sudden it becomes a small number rather than a large number. So that understanding, and I mean, I've had that suggestion from supporters and see it in other people that have asked questions about, well, gee, you have this money. Why don't you just take this money and move it over here? You have, quote, reserves. And how we function as government reserves is different than how somebody that's running an apartment house has a reserve.
Sure.
That general education foundation of knowledge needs to be out there for a significant group of people. Otherwise, you're open to, well, gee, they just spent money,
So a pretty comprehensive identification of the problem and
Yeah.
What is and isn't available to us as tools to address that.
And how quickly your road system can go from being looking fine to the point where, well, I think it was Inglewood had it on their things, and Inglewood, which is, you know, suburban Denver, which at one time was pretty good, has the poorest quality water in the metropolitan area of Denver.
I've been there for 10 years, I can justify that.
And they have roads that are auto mechanics' dreams, because every year you need to rework your alignment, your suspension, and the other interesting thing is that you put electric vehicles on predominantly dirt and potholes, and the amount of money you spend just goes through the roof on errors. So there's a lot of things that are direct costs to people that also need to be out there as well. And I don't think people see that.
I think it'd be important to shed light on the cost to us. And while those are certainly valuable, we need to do what we can to show the people why we're trying to make this decision based on our numbers.
Yeah. Another thing we could do for that night is between now and then, we're going to have a lot of freeze and thaw. We're going to start getting more potholes probably. Yeah. The alleys, the sidewalks are lifting around town because of roots and whatnot. The curbs are busted because of snow plowing and so on and so forth. Photograph it and just have a slideshow going through the whole thing with this is where it's at around town. Because this is the time of year we start really getting potholes. And if we can show them, and this is it, this location, and we paved this street 8 years ago, but it's already started to go, and all the gatoring here really started popping. I know College Drive is not ours, but boy, I drove that last night.
It was a mess.
That state needs to take care of that. It's not ours, so I wish we could use that, because it's all gatoring.
There's a big hole over Wisconsin and Leroy.
Thank you. Do not fill it until you photograph, is what I'm saying.
In fact, that's a good point. I need to do that, because I think Jason went out and filled out one today. Well, I need to photograph it before we do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Any places, lifting of sidewalks and busted curbs from plowing, it happens. This is repairs that we have to do that's normal, but this is what our streets are doing and all the gatoring. And just have a slideshow of locations. It might be in front of somebody's house that will, my street's going bad, I didn't notice that. And they'll start looking maybe. And maybe put photos like that in the newspaper.
So part of that IMS presentation is to try to illustrate that based on other communities and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping that they can have some really graphic stuff there. I know you've seen on the slideshow the Georgia 10 years ago versus Georgia today, the street, and you don't pick up on how it deteriorates on a daily basis, but if you look at it over a decade, it's pretty graphic. Right. So that's what you're going to see going forward with these streets.
Maybe not be so quick on filling potholes right now, too. I mean, I don't mean to sound bad, but...
Unfortunately, how you want to look at it, but we've covered up pretty much every street in the last 5 or 6 years with slurry seal, micro seal, whatever you want to call it. Probably go with a chip seal this year. But though it doesn't, the life of that is 5 to 6 years. All you're doing is really covering up a problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think these sessions are really important so far. I mean, we've only had a couple, but it's already... Just feeling thanks, staff, for the long day.
Yeah. Well, look at the bright side. The vote margin wasn't that great.
6%.
How many?
141 votes. 6%. Yeah.
So I mean,
which is not. It's not a small number. When you're talking about, there's certain people that will just vote no to everything. But it's definitely doable.
What was it the year before?
It was a little
the firehouse.
Than
he was less than that, even.
Yeah.
So I mean,
he also had less total votes.
But
yeah,
it was pretty close. So
that was just get some really exciting city council candidates, so everyone wants to vote, and then Vote for the streets.
More votes, the better.
I still think one exercise is, okay, which, you get 10 streets that you get to keep in pristine condition. What 10 streets are you going to choose as a group?
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
And
that's where we're going to be. Mark on the paper.
Well, that, you put that in a charrette with various groups, all of a sudden, the one person suggested, said, look, I know if people may be saving money now, the answer will be, it's just like, I want the street in front of my house taken care of, and we aren't going to be able to do that, and trying to, how do you make decisions on that?
Well, I think we have to make the case that if we don't do anything, most of where people live are on residential streets, which will be last priority.
Yep.
Because you're going to look for your higher traffic count streets is where you're going to probably focus your money, I would think.
Yeah, and your emergency access is school access.
Yes, those routes.
Yeah. And so there are things that we can, that's one idea that you might do in the charrette. It's just, there are different things that you can try to make it understandable.
Okay. Anything else? Any input?
Keep mulling up, and we'll check in next week.
Okay.
Same
bat time, same bat channel.
Thank you all for your time and efforts and energy. We stand adjourned at 9:03 p.m.
Yeah, but it's
actually a lot. What?